Romans 12, 3-8. For by the grace given to me, I say to each of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not have the same function. So in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all of the others. We have different gifts in accordance with the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
So we've come to the final part of our series, Ecclesia, looking at the beauty of the church. And it's been fantastic as we've slowly been able to meet together in different ways. It's been so good just to pause and reflect, to look at God's word and say, what is the church all about? What does the Bible say about the church? What is God's heart for the church? And today we're going to be thinking about the beauty of belonging to the church and belonging to each other. And Chris had our reading there from Romans chapter 12, which is this picture of the church being like the body. It follows nicely on from what Sally was speaking about last week. But there's two particular verses that we're going to narrow in amongst what Chris shared with us. And it's these verses, verses 4 and 5. It says this: for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So again, this is this picture of the church being like a body. It's such a helpful image. And last week Sally looked at that in the book of 1 Corinthians. And here again in his letter to the Roman church, Paul picks up that analogy. That just as our bodies has many members, many limbs and many organs and many different parts to our bodies, so in Christ, as a church, we all have different parts. Each one of us is a different member, a different part of that body that comes together. We are one body, as it says. And, you know, there's a sense when Paul writes this that he's referring to the universal church. He's referring to Christian believers across history from the beginning of time. And those who will exist in the future as well. That is the church. That we are together with those people, one body across history. And all around the world and across our town, we're one body with all these other believers. But there's a sense as well that Paul is talking to local church groups as well. That as much as talking about the universal church, these words are for us here at Frinton Free Church in 2021. That we here are one body. So how is that possible? How is that possible when we don't live at the same time as those people across history? We don't live in the same countries as other believers around the world. That even though we're part of one body here at the Free, we don't live in each other's houses. We're not literally joined to each other. How is it possible for this picture to work? How are we one body? Well, the key is in two words, I think, in these verses. And it's those words there in yellow on the screen. In Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. That it's in Christ that it's possible for us to be joined together, to be one body. It's really important for us to understand what it means to be in Christ. I think to fully appreciate and understand what it means to be a church community, a church body together. So let's dig into that a little bit. What does it mean to be in Christ? Well, the first, I think, and most obvious thing that it means to be in Christ is that we are related to each other. That in Christ, you and I are related to each other. That we are family. Well, you know what they say about families, that you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. Well, unfortunately, we are related, that we are family together in Christ. You know, as believers in Jesus, we have a relationship with Him. I believe in Jesus Christ. He's my Saviour, and that means I have a relationship with Him. And that relationship, the Bible tells me, is that I'm His brother. And He's my brother. Or you're His sister. And He's your brother. And so, if all of us as believers are related as brothers and sisters to Jesus, if we're all related to Him, that means we are now related to each other as well. In Christ, we are family. The new family of Jesus is being formed. Not only is Jesus interested in creating relationships between Him and other people, He's interested in creating relationships and a family between those people to bring them together as a family. He's creating relationships within the body of believers. So when it says in Christ, we, though many, form one body. That's possible in Christ, through Him, through having a relationship with Him. We become one body. We are joined together because we're related to Jesus. But there's more as well. There's something bigger, I think, about what it means to be in Christ that, again, just expands our view of the church and what we are about. You see, when we accept Jesus as our Saviour, this bond is created between us and Him. And that bond, in His grace and in His mercy and in His generosity, means that He shares everything He is with us. And He shares everything He has with us as well. It's an incredible thought. That as that relationship with Him is formed and as that bond is made, He says, everything I am is for you. Everything I have is for you as well. Let's dig into that a bit, because the Bible, from across the pages of the Bible, describes what that means and what Jesus shares with us. It says in the Bible, it says that we receive grace in Christ. Our redemption is in Christ. We are justified in Christ. We are forgiven in Christ. And there's more. There is no condemnation for us in Christ. We are new creations in Christ. Our eternal life is in Christ. And that's not all. There's more. We have every spiritual blessing in Christ. God supplies all our needs in Christ. And there's more as well. We are presented as perfect in Christ. We cannot be separated from God in Christ. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? All those things are given to us and shared with us through a bond with Jesus Christ. And what makes this more incredible is that we share these things together. This is the beauty of the church. This is the beauty of belonging to the church and belonging to each other. In that we share a life, we share an inheritance, we share an incredible union in Christ. This is really important for us to understand if we're to expand our view of the church and to get excited about what the church really is all about. You see, my salvation is very personal. It is about Jesus giving His life for me. But that's not all. Jesus gave His life for you as well. He gave His life for the church. So my salvation is personal, but at the same time it's also communal as well. And that joins you and I and bonds you and I together. We are one body in Christ because we share so much together in Christ. It means that we are redeemed together. We are justified and forgiven together. We are loved by God together. This is what it means to be one body. This is what makes the church of Christ one body. The church isn't about attending a building or a place that we come to. The church isn't even about serving or about giving. It's about a communal salvation that we share and that we celebrate in Christ. We are one body in Christ because Jesus gave up his life for us. We are one body because now together we share a life. We share an inheritance and we share a deep union together in Christ. Listen, don't ever minimalize or trivialize what it means to be part of the church. This isn't like joining any other club or any other society that you might be a part of. This cost Jesus everything. It cost him everything. It cost him his life. So that together we can be joined in what he's won for us. There's like these ligaments, just as our body is joined together by muscle and ligaments and joints. The muscles and the ligaments and the joints that we are joined together with are that forgiveness, is that redemption, is that eternal life, is that love, is that grace that he's poured out on us and that he shares with us. And these things join us together, this new family of Jesus, held together by these kind of deep spiritual ligaments. It's exciting, isn't it? And we can be joined together. We are one body. Not just because we choose to be. Not just because we attend at the same time. Because there's something deeply spiritual has taken place that becomes very real in our lives and joins us together for eternity. It's the beauty of belonging. So what does that all mean then? If that's what Jesus has done for us, if that's what he's won for us, what does that mean that because we share those things? How do we put that into practice? Well, just quickly, as we finish, I want to share this thought, that we belong to one another, so we now strive for unity. You and I now belong to one another in Christ, and so that means that we strive for unity. Yeah, unity in our physical bodies is really important. I didn't get on too well with science and biology at school, but there are bits and pieces that I remember. And I remember learning about organ systems at school that exist in our body. I've gone and looked online this week just to kind of refresh myself, but I just remember being amazed as a teenager about how our body works together. You know, we have a nervous system in our body, and that's different organs, different parts working together. Our brain, our spinal cords, our nerve endings, all interpreting information, regulating every function of our bodies, the brain and our spinal column and our nerve endings, all working together as part of the nervous system. We have a muscular system that regulates our movement, and our muscles and our ligaments all work together. You know, and if I reach down and pick up this glass, so much has worked together to enable that to happen. Our skin is a system that works together. Our skin is the biggest organ in our bodies. And together with our hair and our nails and even the fat in our bodies, it regulates our temperature. all working together. Our endocrine system, which is our glands that work together to release hormones, to give signals to our bodies to trigger other things to happen. Our immune system, we've learned a lot about that over the last 18 months, haven't we? How our immune systems work to prevent and fight infections. Our digestive system, our reproductive system, our circulatory system, all working together. And what one part does impacts the others so that they all work well together. Our bodies are designed perfectly in unity to work together. It says in the Bible we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So is it any surprise that several times in the Bible, Paul, the Apostle Paul, compares the church to the wonder of our bodies and how they work together? Is it any surprise that he says, in Christ the church is one body with many members? And just like our bodies in a church family, what one part of the body does affects the others. Just as our bodies are connected and joined and are members of each other, in the same way, our church body is connected and joined and members of one another. Paul puts it this way in what we read. He said, though many, we form one body, and each member, he says, belongs to all the others. It's quite a strong statement, isn't it? But just in the same way that, you know, in one sense, our hand belongs to our brain because they work together, or our digestive system has to work and they belong, and all the different parts belongs to each other. In the same way, we belong to each other. What you and I do impacts other parts of the church body. And that's positive. That's a good thing. That your behaviour, what you choose to do, can have a positive impact upon me. I think back across my life and being part of several churches, and just how my life has been impacted for good by other parts, other members of the body. Now, I remember becoming a Christian in my late teens, and one guy in the church I grew up in, who was an evangelist, sort of saw me and said, do you know what, Mark, you need to come with me when I go and speak at different events. I want you to come with me. He said, you can carry some of my gear, you can help me. And I used to go with him. I travelled around the country a little bit with him, and when he spoke at different events I would go. And he said, just watch me as I preach, watch me as I share my testimony. I used to watch him. I used to think he was brilliant. He still is. And then eventually he said, Mark, I want you to have a go. Next time we go away, why don't you have a go? Why don't you share your testimony? Why don't you read a little bit of the Bible out? Why don't you tell people what that bit of the Bible means? And that was the first time, really, that I ever got preaching. He affected me positively. The choices he made, his decisions, had a positive impact on me. I remember one of the lowest moments of my life when Liz and my world was completely turned upside down. When one of our children was very ill, some good friends from our church coming to visit us at the hospital where we were with our daughter, and they said, look, we haven't come to say anything really, we haven't come to bring you anything, there's not much we can do, we just want to sit with you and be with you. And I remember them just sitting with us for hours and just being there. And they didn't really say anything, they didn't really do anything. But just having them there was incredible. You know, they knew that although we were different parts of the body, that we belonged to each other. But I also know that some of my most painful experiences in life have taken place within the body of the church as well, and I suspect for some of you watching this that's been true as well, and I'm so sorry if the church body has ever impacted you negatively, but that can happen as well, can't it? Just as we can impact each other for good, what we do affects other people as well, and it can be negative as well. because we're connected. But what this means is that when we choose to be part of Jesus' body, when we choose to be part of his church body, nothing is just between me and God anymore. What I choose to do will affect you for good or for bad. I've met people in the past and who have done things that have been difficult or have hurt other people. I've said to them, why did you do that? And they say, you haven't got a right to talk to me like this. It's just between me and God. And I've said, well, it's not. We're one body. We're connected to each other. We've got ligaments and muscles and bones that are all joined together. And what you do affects the rest of the body. It's good for us to be reminded about that sometimes. That we can do positive things, but also just to be wary that we can do negative things as well that hurt. You know, in 1 Corinthians, Paul says about the church, he says, when one part of the body's hurting, the other parts of the body hurt as well. And that is so true, isn't it? None of us are islands. None of us exist, and we're completely autonomous when we choose to be part of the body of Christ. We can impact each other for good, and there can be great consequences for our actions. And keep doing those things, do those things, do those things. Bless each other. But let's be mindful as well that if we do something that isn't great, that's going to have consequences as well. It's the way God's designed us to be together. And this means, all this means as well, this unity, this striving for unity, means that we need each other as well. Being part of the body means that we need each other. Sally picked up on this last week, and I wanted to as well. You know, our bodies, that these organ systems need each other. Each part needs each other if they're going to do the functions they need to do. So our digestion system needs different parts of the body to work together. It needs the stomach. You know, so when we're hungry, what's happened there is our stomach has released a hormone to tell our body that it's time to eat. And that hormone goes to our brain, and our brain says, right, I need to find some food. And that's a difficult point, isn't it? Because then we have to choose whether we're going to eat something good or something not so good. But our brain needs to work that out. And this causes hunger, and so we eat. And when we start that process of eating, this hormone also triggers the digestive system within our stomach to start working. So when the food goes down our throat, it is digested. All those things need to work together. The stomach can't digest food on its own. It needs hormones. It needs the brain to be working as well. Breathing. Hopefully you're breathing as you watch this. Just feel for a moment yourself breathing. Just breathe in and hold it. And breathe out. And in. And out. Just doing that. Lots of things have been working together. Even though we didn't realise it, our brain was doing it. Our brain doesn't really even need to think, I hope, to breathe. But that's been involved in it. Our lungs have been involved. Our noses have been involved. Our mouths have been involved. Our windpipe has been involved. Our sinuses have been involved. All those things have needed to work together. Not one of them could have done it on its own. And in the same way, for a church, a body of people, we need each other. We cannot do church on our own. We need each other. You can't be a church of one. We need the body together. That's why in our passage in Romans chapter 12, the following verses 5 to 8, are there. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. We do all these things in Christ, serving each other. Now, this isn't meant to be an exhaustive list of all the gifts and talents. This isn't all the gifts and talents that are in the church. They're not just there. But instead, this is an encouragement It's examples of ways we can serve and how we can rely and need each other. It's an encouragement to use the gifts that we have and to play our part. We need each other. I love these quotes that Sally shared last week from the Christian author David Pryor. I belong to the body. I have a distinctive contribution to bring to the body. I need you. I feel with you. I rejoice with you. We need each other. Just as our physical bodies need the different organs and parts, we need each other to play our parts. And do you know what? I think the past year or so has meant that lots of us, quite understandably, have got out of the habit of realising that we're needed. We're in the habit and we think, do you know what? I don't really need to go along to the church. I don't really need to serve anymore. Look, they've got on without me. I'm not needed. Listen, if that's what you're thinking, that's a lie. That's not true. It might be how you're feeling, and I understand that you might be feeling that way, but that's not the truth. The truth is that God has designed the church as one body with many parts in Christ, and each part is needed. You are needed. I need you. I need you. Others need you to play your part so that we can function well. So we can bring life to the body. In a couple of weeks' time, on the 27th of June, we're going to be kicking off a series looking at the new vision and the strategy for our church over the coming months and years. And as a leadership team, me and the elders were really excited about what God has planned for us. And I really want to encourage you to make sure you get along to church, either online or, even better, come and book a place here at the church. Because for 4 weeks, I'm going to be unpacking what I believe our church needs to look like as we do life together post-COVID. But I'm going to be honest with you as well. There's something for all of us to do. This isn't about us just becoming busy, 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 busy. But there are roles for us. There are things that we can commit to praying for, that we can commit to giving to, that we commit to serving to as well, right across the life of our church. And I want to say that God needs you. His church needs you if we're going to see our church really go ahead following this pandemic over the last few years. If we're really going to bless our community and see lots of people come to know Jesus, we all need to play our part. So start praying. Start praying now. Hey God, over these next few weeks, start working in my life. Holy Spirit, start shaping me and moulding me and transforming me. Show me what it is, the role that I can play in the body of Christ, as we start to get back to doing church together. The beauty of the church is that we can belong to church. We're one body in Christ. That's not about attending. That's because in Christ he shares everything he is and everything he has with all of us. We are deeply connected together. We belong together because of what Christ has done for us. And that means there's a commitment to unity in that, being accountable to each other, realizing that what we do impacts for good or not so good. And it means that we need each other as well. We need each other to play our parts, just as our bodies do as well. I love the church. I love the church. And Jesus loves it even more. I look forward to being church with each and every one of you over these coming weeks and months and many, many years together.